The Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Pat Lowney as he talks to entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
Good morning and welcome to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney and I'm happy to be here this morning. I have with me Jim Heiting. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Pat. How are you doing?
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Good. And we are also very happy to have our guests this morning, who are Maria Van Abel and Laura Beyer. Hi, ladies.
Hi, Pat. Hi. Thanks for having us.
Good to have you here. So you are with 360U, and you've been on the show before. You were on last October, and we wanted to bring you back because there's a lot of exciting things happening in your life, and we wanted to kind of explore that a little bit. So could you tell us a little bit about yourselves and 360U?
Yeah, so my sister Laura and I started the business in February of 2016. We've been on the show a couple of times since then, which has been fun. And we all got started actually with our SCORE mentor, Jim, who's here today. So this is a fun radio show for us today. But we decided to start the business one day in Laura's basement, and we Googled how to start an LLC. And, you know, from there we got connected with SCORE, luckily, and that has been a game changer for us. We met with Jim, and he gave us just the confidence, really, to continue with our plan and the encouragement and support that we needed as a brand-new business. There was a lot of things that we were, you know, thinking about and worried about, and Jim really guided us through that process. And since then, we have moved into our own facility. A year ago in June was our when we started in that facility, and we have some exciting new things coming up, but you know, since then, it's been pretty fun. So,
what do you do with 360U?
So, at 360U, we train athletes how to play softball, and we really try to use the game of softball as a vehicle to help them become the best version of themselves in the classroom, at home, when they're friends and their family, and just try to teach them the life skills that we have gained from the game. So, Maria played at Madison for the Badgers. She was a four-year starter there, and she walked on the program unrecruited. So kind of a unique story with her. And I played at Stevens Point for 4 years. And when we finished our playing careers, we had kind of been working with some kids here and there, teaching them mechanics on batting and pitching and catching, things like that. And what we found really quickly was that the need in the area, in the state of Wisconsin, really was very big for that market, for teaching girls how to play softball and kind of teaching them the intangibles of the game. So we, like Maria said, we Googled how to start a business, and we have found that, you know, probably half of our time is spent on teaching the mechanics that we've learned, and the other half is trying to help these girls ages 8 to 18 understand and, I guess, be aware of all the other things that the game is teaching them as they're playing it.
So when you Googled your business, what things were you Googling?
Oh, boy. well, first off, just how to form an LLC and what we had to do from that business standpoint. Laura and I both graduated with degrees in business, and Laura worked in banking and finance for 7 or 8 years prior to us founding the business. So we're really lucky. Laura is a huge asset to us in that way because she deals with all of that stuff that I don't usually like to do. But so we're really lucky to have a little bit more business-minded approaches to it. But
We were Googling just about anything and everything. Do we need our own space, or how much is it to rent a building, and how much is insurance, and, you know, what are the first 5 things you do when you start a business? Mm-hmm. So kind of a lot of just different questions. We had a good idea what we wanted our foundation to look like, but we'd never been business owners. So actually I was working at a bank at the time, and someone had mentioned a company called SCORE, and they said, check out if Appleton has one. I was in Green Bay at the time, So we Googled SCORE, and we found SCORE of Appleton, and we submitted a contact form. And we are so blessed that we got Jim Hiding to be our mentor. And he has really, he's really just helped us take our ideas and format them in a way that, you know, are sustainable to grow. He's taught us things to be aware of. You know, we kind of laugh about it. Jim's a finance guy, so we always say we probably would have been shut down by the government at least 4 or 5 times by now if we didn't have him kind of reminding us of different rules and regulations and things like that. But the SCORE has really been a game changer for us.
I think like a lot of our clients that we have at SCORE, there's always a lot of apprehension about starting up a business. And now that you guys are experienced and you've got 2 years under your belt, what do you think now going back? Was it less intimidating than what you feared it would be? And
well, we're still learning. That's for sure. There's still things that are coming up that we have to learn and grow with. But I would say that since we started, we've definitely have a much better idea of what it takes to operate. We have a lot better processes in place. And, you know, now that we're having some employees and people work for us, you know, every day there's something new and we're continuing to grow, which kind of provides new things that we have to be aware of and, you know, just get better at. But
yeah, and we are lucky. We kind of wear all the hats in the business, from finance to HR to operations. So we've been fortunate to kind of learn as we go. And it, to Jim's question, or, you know, to his comment, it's not like all of a sudden we just had to be in a place. You know, we kind of laid out our goals over a time period, and we take baby steps to try to make sure we're doing them the right way early on so that we do have a good foundation and that we can continue to grow and sustain growth and things like that.
And Laura, you talked about your experience working in banking and how that helped you as you moved into this decision to go into your own business too, right?
Yeah, so I was fortunate. My first internship in college was I was a credit manager with Wells Fargo, so my job was primarily helping people manage their debt. And so I would see things for where a couple would have $80,000 in credit card debt, no assets, no real plan to pay it off, a family. So I think I got a harsh, kind of a harsh look into reality of what can happen if you overextend yourself and don't think about payments in terms of payments and things like that. So when we started the business, Jim jokes, we're Dutch. The Venables have a Dutch background, so we tend to be a little tight as it is, but we really monitored our spending early on. And Maria just sent me a text picture the other day of our first deposit slip at the bank when we opened our first checking account, and we had each put $200 in the business. But since then, we haven't had to take out any loans. We haven't had to borrow any money. We've been cash flow positive, so we've really kind of we've planned our growth around what we have in our savings and what our cash flow is, and I think that's helped us tremendously.
So just being aware of cash flow is really, really important all through the life of a business, but especially when you start out. That experience at the bank had to be really good for you.
Oh, yeah, it's invaluable, and I think, you know, even through high school and college, it's funny because I feel like today you don't really learn about balancing checkbooks, and it's credit so available that people can get it and they can use it how they want to at an age where maybe it's not appropriate to be using it in those ways. So it was so many life lessons I had learned kind of unfortunately from seeing other people really be affected negatively by misusing money.
And you had the added advantage of having coming from an entrepreneurial family, so that you could rely a little bit probably on your parents and your brothers to talk a little bit about how to start up a business.
Yeah, definitely. So with the restaurant out in Hollandtown, it's kind of unique. Our mom started the catering side of the restaurant probably 12 years ago or so. And obviously seeing our grandma and grandpa work at the restaurant and both having waitress there for some time and putting in our hours, you know, I think we just learned at an early age that if it's something that you want to do and you have an idea that you think is going to work, it's not going to be easy most of the time, and it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of hours, and it becomes a little bit of your life. But we saw that, you know, the business out there, how it can affect, you know, so many people in a positive way, and if we had the opportunity to do something like that with a skill of ours, we at least wanted to try it. So we've been having success with it so far, and we've had our brother and sister both take on entrepreneurial roles. Our brother owns and manages Badger Sports Park and opened up a couple of escape rooms in Green Bay, and our sister is representing a clothing line now, and it's been fun to kind of all grow together in that way.
So you talked earlier when we were talking about the fact that you both worked in the restaurant when you were young, too, and that work ethic is probably very helpful now that you're on your own and you're building your own business.
Yeah, I think what's kind of unique with us is Grandpa and Grandma worked at the restaurant day in and day out, and, you know, Grandpa's cutting ham, and Grandma was always kind of the watchdog of the place. She was very sweet and a very tiny lady, but she cracked the whip, and, you know, for us, I think, you know, there's probably a little bit closer eye watched on us, so we had to be, you know, working hard, and it was going to our family's restaurant. So, I mean, when we got there, we wanted to be the first ones there, and we wanted to be the last ones to leave and make sure things were done right, not just punching a time clock. And waitressing, if anyone's ever waitressed before, I think they'd all agree that it's probably one of those jobs that you look back and learn the most from in terms of dealing with people and understanding how people communicate. And I think that's probably been, you know, our most important job so far that we've had in terms of learning.
Yeah, and I think I've heard people say that, you know, we all need to have life experiences, and sometimes getting those earlier is better than later, because you can then use those when you want to take off and go on your own, too. So
yeah,
those are good skills. You also talked about the fact that you both have a business background. That's what you went to college for, right? So you're able to apply that business background as you took off on this, too. You were preparing as you were going along. This wasn't something you just woke up one day and said, this is what I want to do.
There's a lot of days that we say we wish we would have paid more attention in this class or that class. But, yeah, looking back, it's funny how all the pieces kind of have just fit together, and our experiences in playing, our experiences in school, and our family's background, how they kind of have just, you know, led us to a position where we can kind of, you know, follow our dream and give back to the kids in the community.
It's interesting, you know, you go through school and you learn all these things and these concepts, and, you know, everything is a book learning experience, and then you go to reality, and like you said, you wish you'd listen a little bit more, but yet at the same time, you know, starting your own business is a much different story than just, you know, having a business course and going through it. You know, it had to be interesting for you guys to go through that process and not only rely on your experience, but yet at the same time open up this whole new area for you.
It's a different animal than class, that's for sure.
And both at the same time, you're also both college athletes, too. So you had that added little bit of pressure on.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute talking to Maria and Laura, and you're listening to Biz Talk on WHPY.
Fox Community.
Think that sounds good? How does winning $1,000 cash sound? Open a new checking account in the month of July and you could win $1,000. Now that's something to sing about. No purchase necessary. For details and official rules, come to one of 22 Fox locations or visit foxcu.org, federally insured by NCUA.
At Alberts & Hailing CPAs, your success is our success. We can clarify any tax situation and help your business take the steps in managing it confidently. We offer services from startup to sell-off, including payroll, bookkeeping, accounting, and more. Visit AlbertsHailing.com today. Alberts and Hailing. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts and Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Are you a business owner looking to purchase real estate or equipment? Did you know there's a program out there that any bank or credit union can offer to help you make it happen with as little as 10% down and long-term fixed rates under 5%? It's called the SBA 504 program, and it has been working for small businesses for over 35 years. So next time you are talking to your banker about real estate or equipment financing, make sure you ask them for the SBA 504 option, because knowing all of your options is good business. Learn more about the SBA 504 program at wbd.org.
Welcome back. We're glad you joined us this morning. Our guests are Laura Beyer and Maria Van Abel from 360U. Before we continue our conversation with Laura and Maria, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Fox City Score. Our Fox City Score chapter is located in the Fox City's Chamber office in downtown Appleton. We have offices in Appleton, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, and we serve an 8-county area around those 3 cities. We have 50 volunteer mentors, each an expert in their own field. We offer entrepreneurs a no-cost and confidential mentoring service. Our mentors have expertise in areas such as IT, social media, marketing, cash flow, accounting, strategic planning, workflow, HR, retail, best practices, and many other specialties. In order to register for our no-cost and confidential mentoring session and or to learn more about Fox City Score Chapter, visit our website at foxcities.score.org. You can learn more about how Score Chapter can help assist you in starting a new business or growing your current business. When visiting our website at foxcities.score.org, you can complete an online application for a no-cost confidential mentoring session. Simply complete the online form and submit it to Score. Within a few days, a SCORE mentor will be contacting you to set up a meeting. Remember, SCORE is a no-cost opportunity and offers experts who can offer you assistance in many different areas of your business. To get started, simply visit our website at foxcities.score.org. Let's get back to Maria and Laura.
Pat, I just want to mention that early this year, the National SCORE organization announced its 5th American Small Business Championship program. Over 1,100 applicants submitted a 60-second video along with commentary describing the unique aspects of their small business that have contributed to their success and their positive impact on the community. In late March, SCORE announced 102 state-level winners of the American Small Business Championship based on a combination of online voting and judging by a panel of small business experts. 360U was one of those 1,100-plus applicants. So, Laura and Maria, can you tell us more about that contest, its results so far, and what could or will happen in the future?
Yeah, so when we were on Facebook one day, we follow SCORE, and we saw the ad posted for the competition. And Laura is like, well, why don't we try this? I think this is something that we'd have a good shot at. So we put together a video of one of our training sessions to give viewers and the panelists an idea of what we do. So then we put it together, and within a couple of days, Laura and I shot a little video of us kind of explaining our video, put it together, and submitted it for voting and for the judging. And like you said, we heard back in March that we were one of the finalists, which was pretty exciting. There was 2 from each state, I believe, that were sent to Reno for, a paid trip to go learn about best practices from legal advice to HR to email marketing, digital marketing, just about any business topic that small business owners might come across in their day-to-day work. So I went out to Reno, and Laura's pregnant right now and taking care of the baby and her kids at home. So she stayed back, and I kept up to date with her on everything that I was learning. But I went out there and, just got a lot of really great resources from SCORE. They continue to be one of the best supportive resources for us. And I was out there for 2 days, learned a lot, brought a lot back. And now they will send us a survey in July, and they'll judge us on a few different things again. And from the 102 finalists that were in Reno, there will be 3 grand prize winners of $15,000. So we are working hard to kind of fill those requirements of what they need to see from our business from all different standpoints. But, we're working on some pretty exciting things over at our new facility and some, you know, new ideas in the future that we're kind of, that are in the infant stages that we're working on. But we're excited to see where that goes and hopefully have a shot at, you know, winning the grand prize so we can put that money to, you know, good use and to help our kids and families even more. Then there's another part of the judging that will happen. 11 of the 102 finalists that were in Reno will be sent to Washington, D.C. for a gala, a small business gala, and be recognized just for their relationship with SCORE and for what they're doing in their community. So we're really hoping, keeping our fingers crossed, that we can either be sent to Washington or, you know, win that grand prize. So it would help us out a little bit, and we could just continue forward with our plans.
That's really exciting.
Thanks. Yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, good for you. You should be. And it's really important that, you know, you're able to get off the ground in the last 2 years and achieve this level at this quickly and everything. So good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So you talked a little bit about your facility. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Jim can attest to this. When we first met with Jim at the SCORE, we were just working with kids at random batting cages and random fields kind of throughout the Fox Cities. And our five-year plan, we had a big whiteboard that we brought in with Jim. We had a one-year-old, and we had a big whiteboard just chock full of stuff, and we brought it into our first meeting with Jim, and we had our 5- and 10-year plans laid out. And in our 5-year plans was to potentially rent or lease a building, and fortunately, we kind of stumbled across a great opportunity in Kaukauna. We found a 3,000-square-foot building that was up for lease, and we contacted the owner, and we moved in, and just after a year of starting the business, so that was last June. We laid all of our own turf. We hung all of our own netting, and we've kind of been building up our supplies and things in there since then, but we actually just have acquired the second half of the building, which is an additional 2,500 square feet that we're going to kind of have to do, put a little TLC into it, but we're going to get our space almost doubled, so it's going to allow us to work with a lot more kids, and we're very excited. Our facility is located on Highway 55 between KK and Highway 10, so we're right in between that area, but if you go on our website or on our Facebook, you can see just what our facility is and kind of how it functions and what it looks like. But we're very excited about the expansion, and can't wait to get into the other side.
If somebody wanted to go out onto your website, what is the address they'd be looking for?
It's just www.the360u.com, and that's just THE360U.com. Yeah, and Facebook, just search the 360U, and you'll see probably more than you want to from us. We're updating stuff on there all the time, actually.
You've got a very active website. It's good. So as you're working through the decision to lease a building or not, did you get help from anybody to help you figure out, you know, if it was a good lease for you or not?
Yeah, so Jim has been our go-to guy. So our landlord has just been so great to work with. He really believes in small business, and he's an old-fashioned kind of guy, a handshake guy, and we met with him, and he liked what we were doing, and he sat down with us and kind of said, I want this to work for you guys, and we were very lucky because he actually even said, if it doesn't work from now and a year from now, I'll let you out of the lease, and, you know, it just all, the stars had really just aligned when we met this guy, so we contacted Jim, and Jim kind of helped us sit down and forecast, you know, how our revenues were going to look if we did move into the building and what were the numbers that we're going to have to meet and how many kids we were going to need to get in. And we had a pretty good idea that we could support, you know, the costs that we incurred with the lease. So Jim, again, just kind of helped us understand that, and as he did with our decision to rent the second half of the building, how are our revenues going to change compared to our costs and things like that.
Well, in your situation, it had to be a little bit of a difficult situation when you had to deal with either Wisconsin weather or trying to find places where you could.
We were just joking this morning that there was rain in the forecast, and we were like, oh, no, what are we going to do? Because, you know, we'd have to cancel our lessons a year ago, but now we kind of don't have to worry about that too much. So,
yeah.
So that's pretty nice.
And we, when we had started the business, you know, we would work with anywhere between 10 to 15 kids a week, and now this past year we worked with over 1,400 athletes, and this coming year we're expecting to almost triple that. So we're kind of to the point where in order to help the kids that want to be helped, we're going to need just a little bit more space. So.
And how, you know, you mentioned you went from 1,400 and you're looking at 4,000 this year or something. Like how have you attained that growth? Just word of mouth or?
Yeah, I would say a lot of word of mouth. We're really active on our Facebook, and you know, we've worked with a lot of teams, so you know, that just helps get our name out there a little bit, and you know, that's been huge for us.
I think primarily it's just, you know, our focus has always been customer driven, and our goal every single time we meet with a kid is to learn about them, to understand what they're going through, and to have them leave feeling a lot more confident in their day-to-day life in softball than when they got to us. And, you know, if we can really make sure that we're giving these athletes a really good experience, we're finding that they're coming back and they're telling their friends and they're telling, you know, their neighbors. And I would say, yeah, like Maria alluded to, word of mouth has been, referrals have been huge for us.
Have you been getting referrals from coaches?
Yeah, we actually just got an email from a lady up in towards Wasaki.
Yeah.
And she was at a random diner. And her daughter had softball stuff on, and a coach that we had worked with had said, oh, have you ever worked with 360U? And she hadn't heard of us, so she checked us out on the website, and she contacted us, and she wants us to come to her high school, and she wants to bring her daughters down to see us. So it's a very close-knit community.
So you're rather unique in the aspect that you are providing training for girls in softball. It's mm-hmm. not exactly a common, I mean, you hear about all kinds of boys,
mm-hmm.
baseball, basketball, football, whatever it may be, but girls softball is a little bit more, obviously.
Yeah, we're sort of a girls-only club right now. we are focusing on the girls just to give them a space where they're the priority, not behind baseball, or, you know, you get to practice when they're done, or you get to get instruction from a guy who played baseball, or he's going to show you softball. It's just so different, and having lived it, we're really wanting to give the girls opportunities that we maybe didn't have when we were growing up.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes and talking to Laura and Maria. You're listening to Biz Talk on WHBY.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Intellectual property doesn't have to be confusing. If you have an original idea and are considering patents, trademarks, copyrights, or protecting your company logo, let me partner with you and make it easy to build and protect your intellectual property portfolio. Legal Business Edge. Know your options. Call 920-851-7761 or visit legalbusinessedge.com.
Are you feeling less than confident in your personal or business finances? At Albertson Hailing CPAs, we work with individuals and small business owners to simplify finances and help maximize profits. From asset protection to tax planning and more, we'll guide you through a financial plan. Visit AlbertsHailing.com today. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
I'm here this morning with Jim Heiding, and we're talking to Laura Beyer and Maria Van Abel from 360U. So one of the things we want to talk about in this segment is how are you different, or what is it that you're bringing that's a little bit different than maybe some of the other programs that have offered softball training? So
yeah, so and I'm going to let Maria talk to this a little bit more, but what we realized really early on with our athletes is that probably the biggest skill that was missing from, you know, an athlete that was an average player to the great player, especially at our younger ages, you know, 8 years old to 10, 11, 12 years old, was just that sense of confidence. And not just confidence when they were batting or when they were throwing, but confidence even when we would ask them a question in a group setting, or when we'd ask them to demonstrate something. There were the kids that hopped up and that, you know, were making good eye contact, and they were smiling, and they were just super excited to talk in front of a group. And then there were, you know, our other athletes who were afraid to even look at you in the case that you'd call on them for something. So we realized really early on that our mission was to empower these athletes with confidence. You know, for example, one of the, like at a hitting session, if you come to one of our hitting sessions, one of our drills for like our 8-year-old age group will be, they have a 30-second station where they need to write on a chalkboard all the things in their life that they're great at. And it's a great exercise, but, you know, when we started, we'd find out that there were kids that would write 2 or 3 things down, and we'd make them do the exercise again. And we're, come on, there's more. You know, you're a good swimmer, or you're a good friend, or you're a good baker, or whatever it is. So I think just getting kids to think beyond softball and more, you know, holistically in their life, 360-degree version of themselves is what we named the company after, 360U, and just remembering that there's so much more than softball. And we both played through college, and, you know, there's a small professional league after college. It's very small. There's 4 or 5 teams, and they're not getting paid like, you know, the major league players are getting paid in that league. So I think us looking back, what did we learn and how are we able to use that when we got out of college, and how were we able to prepare ourselves for a career when softball was over? And Maria with the Badgers, they got a lot of exposure to staff and programs that kind of transition the student athlete to the career person. So I'll kind of let her talk about that, but we've incorporated a lot of what they do, you know, at like Madison with our kids that are 8 and 10 years old.
And like Laura's saying, our goal in every session or lesson that we're seeing these kids, whether they're an 8-year-old or, you know, a 14-year-old, is to leave them with more than just a good swing. Obviously, that's primarily what we're doing in these hitting sessions and lessons, is teaching them the correct mechanics and the things that have worked for us that we've found over the years of playing. But really, when we leave and when they walk out of our facility, are they better prepared to, you know, deal with the adversity they're going to face in the sport, or deal with, you know, the adversity they might feel or face in the classroom, or, you know, in the community? So, you know, a lot of the things we do, we've, you know, allocated, you know, 10 to 15 minutes per session or lesson on the mental training and getting these girls to understand that, you know, they could have the best skills in the world, but if they step up to the plate and, you know, they're questioning themselves, or they're doubting themselves, or they're worried about what their mom and dad are saying or their coach, you know, they're not going to experience success. And that's really going to, you know, carry over to other parts of their life. So, you know, I remember from, you know, a young age, I've had coaches that have made me feel, you know, that way where that, you know, the pressure takes over. And, you know, I became, you know, very unconfident and insecure for a while because of some of those influences. So, you know, learning from those experiences, it's our goal to leave every kid who walks into our facility more confident, prepared to, you know, deal with whatever they're going to face, you know, in the real world and outside of softball. So, you know, that's a big part of what I think makes us a little more unique.
And I think a word that Laura used a minute ago was holistic, that you're looking at the whole person and not just, you know, training for the softball part of it, but that's a kind of a vehicle to accomplish that goal, to play softball at whatever level you want to play at and become a better person, and right?
And yeah, and I mean, even just, you know, thinking outside of yourself, we talk about how do you think about your best teammate and write down what makes them the best teammate, and just kind of pulling kids out of their own perspective, really, and trying to make them look at things from a different angle at a young age, and not even just a young age. We also will help out at UW Oshkosh. My husband is the head softball coach at Oshkosh, so, you know, we kind of see the challenges all the way through. We see the challenges from our 8-year-olds to our 21-year-olds, and it's, you know, how do we better prepare our 8-year-olds so that when they are seniors in college, they're in a position where they do feel like very confident that they're going to get the job in the interview. And, you know, my husband will have his kids, he'll take his freshmen when they get on campus, and he'll ask them to come in for a meeting, and he'll take them to random, you know, staff doors and make them go introduce themselves, and just putting them in uncomfortable situations so that they are ready for interviews and things like that. And, you know, they hate him for a couple of minutes as it's happening, but time after time, you know, he'll get emails and we'll get emails from parents just thanking us for the difference that they see in their kids' behaviors and their social skills and their communication skills. And that's really what, you know, what a kid can tell us, they hit 4 home runs in a game, or a kid can tell us that, you know, they helped a kid up when they saw him fall between innings or something. And, you know, we get a lot more pride when someone tells us they're finding things in the game of softball besides, you know, the wins and the losses that they're learning from.
You just mentioned about the feedback you get, and I'm sure you get a lot of feedback from parents and coaches, and I guess I'm curious to hear, you know, the reaction or what feedback you do get in terms of the non-softball elements. I mean, you know.
Definitely.
Go ahead.
This is kind of a fun time of year for us because a lot of our girls either just finished up their spring high school season or are starting their summer ball season. So we're getting a lot of feedback from parents now. We've been training these kids all winter and all fall, and now they're starting to get to apply these skills and the things that we're working on in real games. And we've been getting a lot of good feedback, which really motivates us. And, you know, it's so rewarding to hear as coaches. But the most, you know, the pride we really take is in the emails that say, you know, my daughter, you know, she struck out her first at bat, but, you know, she didn't throw her helmet. She got back and, you know, put her helmet down and got back to the fence and started cheering. And that response to failure is so important because softball and baseball, it's a funny sport in that you fail a lot. And if you aren't prepared to deal with that failure, well, you know, the best part of that email was the girl didn't tank the rest of the game. She ended up having like two hits and did an awesome job and had fun. And at the end of the game, you know, didn't remember the things that went wrong. We had a high schooler the other day email us that she struck out and had two errors in the field in the beginning of her high school game. And her last at bat, when it really mattered, she said, I thought about the mental techniques that we worked on, and I stepped into the box, and I said, you got this. And, you know, she hit her first home run over the fence. So these are little things that, yeah, the home runs are great, the hits are great, but the response to failure, the positive attitude, the, you know, just these things that we really push in our lessons and sessions, to see that come through and to see parents seeing their kid, you know, having fun again playing the sport is so rewarding.
I would say, you know, 9 times out of 10, the most consistent feedback we get from parents is that they just feel like the environment, the atmosphere in our sessions and our lessons is just so positive. And I guess, you know, maybe we're naive. I have a 3-year-old at home, and Maria doesn't have any kids yet, but I think we just expect people in life to be super positive because we are a little bit more positive. We kind of are a little extreme on the optimistic side. But it amazes us how often parents tell us, you know, this atmosphere is just so uplifting and our daughters just respond so well to it. And I think we take that for granted because our family was that way and, you know, our parents have always been very positive to us. So, you know, it's a great compliment when we hear that a kid leaves just begging to come back again.
So how have you seen the sports that you've been a part of in your life change in a time that you were a young person and now coaching some of that?
That's a loaded question. That's a good one. So I'm not quite as far removed from as Laura, but we both, I would say the game's changed a little bit since both of us have played. You know, when we played, it was more recreational, and there was a lot more priority on, you know, balanced teams, and, you know, it wasn't all about winning. And I think there's a lot to learn from losing and from maybe being, you know, the better one on your team and having to help, you know, teammates who aren't as good as you. And there's just a lot of those intangibles that I think might be getting lost in the message today, where everything is so focused on winning and being on the A team and being the best. And, you know, these kids, unfortunately, aren't getting exposed to that adversity and, you know, some of those challenges that you have to go through to really make you that holistic player. You know, that's what we try to do, is bring that balance back and, you know, encourage families and parents and coaches to, you know, especially at the younger ages, you know, keep the priorities straight for these kids. Because, you know, I was 12 and everyone told me I wasn't good enough to play. And then I got to be 16 and everyone's like, who's this kid? And it's the same kid, but, you know, everyone changes and grows at different rates and paces. And, you know, we just hope that no kid is getting scared away at a young age because of the pressure and the intensity of the sport, you know, getting scared away to play, you know, later on in their life. So.
And in rec softball or kickball or whatever it was that we were playing, you know, you have 6 teams. The best 6 kids got to be captains, and they each got a pick at a time. And now it's like the best kid gets to pick 8 kids at first, and then the rest of them are left to kind of go and figure it out. And I think that's a huge difference. When we grew up, every high school had a freshman team. They had a JV team. They had a varsity team.
At least 3 teams.
And now it's like you're finding schools that don't even have enough kids to play JV ball because they're weeded out so early, and that's just heartbreaking because – you know, we've been through this. At 8 years old, you're typically not going to know who's going to be the best 16-year-old or 17-year-old kid when they get to high school. But the kids are kind of told one thing or another, and then they decide that they quit, and the good kids are being, they're playing games and games and games and games and games. And by the time they get to the high school level, they're a lot of times thinking, hey, like, Mom, Dad, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. We were really encouraged, you know, when I was in high school, to play three sports. If you were a three-sport athlete, you were a very, you know, a good athlete. You were going to be starting on all three teams. And now, you know, we find that kids are penalized for not making open gyms in the off seasons. And I think sports have kind of turned a little bit. And you'll see, like, the best college coaches and male or female coaches, and they'll talk about looking for three-sport athletes. So at the highest level, I don't think it's changed. They're still looking for that kid that can do a lot of different things and that's not burned out and that's balanced. And I think somewhere, you know, between our youth sports and our high school sports, that's been lost a little bit.
You talked earlier when we were talking about the fact that one of the things you have to do is help people decide. You saw it in both your college careers, and you're doing some stuff right now where you're helping potential high school students that are looking at colleges put together videos and learning how to maybe audition for teams that they might be interested in. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so we both had pretty unique recruiting experiences going from high school to college ball. We both were recruited after our senior year. Laura went and played at Stevens Point, and I went on to walk on at Madison. So we have a very unique perspective, I think, on the recruiting process. Laura's husband over at Oshkosh is a recruiter, so he gives us that unique side of what is he looking for in an athlete and in these videos that we're making for kids. But, you know, more than anything, when we work with a kid on that recruiting package, we try to help them find their fit, because we find that every different kid is so unique, and it's not a cookie-cutter process. It's not, you have these skills, you belong at this level, this is where you're going to be happy. Because ultimately, we want these girls going somewhere where they're supported, and they're, you know, the school has their major, and it's not too far from home, and, you know, everything that's a priority to them, it matches up. So that's our goal with, you know, our recruiting package, is to help kids, you know, find the right fit and find somewhere they can stay and be happy.
And just kind of translating, like Maria said, we're very fortunate. Maria stays in close contact with Coach Healy at the Badgers, and she's been one of the most successful coaches there. And Scott at Oshkosh has done, he's broken a lot of records with the program, and they've done a lot of good things there. And we're fortunate that we can kind of take what these coaches are looking for and translate it into a message that the kids understand. So a lot of times, every time when we sit down with a kid after we do a recruiting video for them, we'll tell them, you know, from what we've seen at the college level, the kids that pan out aren't the ones whose parents are carrying their bags and who don't make eye contact and who won't shake your hand and only communicate through email or text messages. You know, what coaches are looking for is for you to go and shake their hand and go and introduce yourself in a confident way and make eye contact and be responsible with your things. And if you are on a recruiting trip with a coach, you know, you should be answering more of the questions than your parents. And I think that's, you know, kind of a message that we're fortunate because we see both sides of it. But for the poor parents and the kids who are trying to understand the process, there's a disconnect sometimes.
Okay. Well, we're going to take our last break. We'll be back in a couple minutes, and you're listening to Biz Talk on WHBY.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. We can partner with you to reach creative legal solutions for your business. From contract drafting and negotiation, patents and trademarks, commercial transactions, and governmental compliance.
Timely and candid answers coupled with high energy and passion define Sarah's approach to legal counsel.
Know your options. Call me at 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
From ordinary tax concerns to extraordinary tax situations, let Albertson Hayling CPAs help you through tax planning, business consulting from startup to sell-off, and more. We specialize in creating financial management plans for your business. Visit AlbertsHayling.com today. Albertson Hayling. Personal connections. Positive results.
Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hayling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Hi, this is Matt Wilcock. I've been helping businesses in this area for over 20 years as a business banker and now as a vice president with WBD, your business finance resource. WBD is a nonprofit company that partners with local lending institutions to offer the SBA 504 loan program. If you are looking to buy commercial, real estate, or equipment, want to lower your down payment and get a 20-year fixed rate under 5%, be sure to ask your banker to show you the 504 option. And don't worry, at WBD we speak SBA, so we will make it easy for you and your banker. For more information on the 504 program, visit WBD.org.
Biz Talk. I'd like to thank our sponsors who bring Biz Talk to you each weekend. We couldn't do it without them. Thank you, Fox Communities Credit Union, Albertson Hailing CPAs, Legal Business Edge LLC, Wisconsin Business Development WBD, and Kendale Marketing, who helps keep our website on the web. And then finally, Business News, where you can find out everything that's going on in the business world in Northeast Wisconsin. So, Jim, you have a question?
Now that you guys are these multi-year successful entrepreneurs, what would you say that you have enjoyed the most about being that, and maybe what did you not like so much?
The thing I think, and thinking I can speak for Laura on this, we kind of share a brain these days, but the thing that we enjoy the most is being able to be so hands-on with our business and the decision-making process. We're really able to tailor our business and our offerings and, you know, what we're doing to the needs of our clients. You know, there's no, you know, levels you have to go through or extra steps we need to take. We can kind of make those decisions and run with it. And both being so passionate about our mission of empowering these young women, it's coming pretty naturally to us just to be able to, you know, keep our families and our athletes at the forefront of every decision we make. So that's been the most exciting part, I think, about our specific entrepreneurial journey. The biggest challenge would be probably keeping the balance. Even if we preach balance for our kids, but keeping the balance for ourselves. There's so much to do every day, and there's so much we want to get done. And, you know, Laura's husband, Scott, always jokes that we need to slow down sometimes because when we get going, we have this list of, like, you know, idea board ideas that kind of get out of control. But that's probably been the biggest challenge, is just, you know, trusting the process and trusting the timeline.
It's hard when you love what you're doing
to
really stop, isn't it?
It is.
Dial back a little bit. So before we leave this morning, one of the things we'd like to ask you is for a biz tip. So what tip could you leave for the listeners?
We talked about this a little bit earlier, but I think the biggest tip that we would give is if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. You're always moving in one direction or another. So I think it's important to keep, you know, sight on future goals and making sure that you're not just complacent. And when things start going well and experiencing success, you kind of just hit the pause button and sit and enjoy it. I think that's the time where you got to kind of revamp those 5 and 10 year plans and make sure that you're moving in the direction that you want your business to go.
And you talked earlier about you've had some pretty good success and growth, and you expect some more continuing on this year. How about some of your goals? What things are you looking at right now?
Oh boy, we have all
we don't have enough time for that.
You know, we would like to at some point look at helping more females than just the softball players that we work with. So maybe, you know, 10 years down the road, we look at expanding into 360U sports or 360U female sports. You know, immediate plans are to move into our other side of the facility and hopefully win our Reno competition so we can buy all of our nets and our turf and things like that. But, yeah, we're kind of always scheming.
These are one of the few people that I, in my experience working with SCORE, that have come in with a 5-year or 10-year outlook. You don't see that.
And a one-year-old.
Well, you know, you guys have had a lot of success, and you're having a lot of success, and it sounds like you deserve it. You've put a lot of work into this. You're doing a lot of the hands-on things that need to be done. I know on your website you're also – you've got some staff people that you're bringing on now too, right?
Yeah, we're really fortunate. We were really looking for the best people to put in front of our athletes as they're our top priority, and we've brought two part-time people on staff, Whitney and Sarah. They're both master's degree holders, and they're teachers and counselors, and they really are, they embody what we want to do at 360U as far as our mission. So we brought them on staff, and, you know, we have college players who come home for summer and on their breaks to help us, and, you know, we're really happy with how that's working out because they challenge us to be better and they bring new, fresh ideas. So, you know, it's really a really fun package deal when you see all of our instructors in action together brainstorming.
I think one of the things you've said is you're very careful about who it is that you're bringing on, too. You're not just picking somebody to fill a spot because you need somebody there.
Yeah, we're very protective of our athletes at 360, so we really want to make sure whoever is in front of them is giving them, you know, the same message that Maria or I would give them, not just putting open applications and looking for someone who wants hours. We're really, you know, handpicking the people that we personally know and have played with and that have the credentials that we're looking for.
And in this job market environment, it's got to be a challenge to find those people.
It has been a challenge. Yeah, we've been growing kind of to that capacity of what can we staff to growth and making sure that we're, you know, have our priorities in the right order.
So I'd like to take the time to thank both Maria and Laura and Jim for coming in this morning. You guys have got a great story. It's an example of what you can do when you put your mind to it, and it's a little help from a SCORE mentor. So thank you very much.
Thanks so much
for having us.
And we'd like to thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.